Hey, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. We're discussing Eckhart Tolle's book, A New Earth, Awakening Your Life's Purpose. Here is a spiritual stream offered in your life. Listen, you might be searching for purpose, meaning, origin. Where did I come from? Where am I going? You know, why am I here? Remember the 70 songs? I found this on YouTube, Kansas, Dust in the Wind. We're a drop of water in an endless sea. It's the philosophy of pantheism. It's the philosophy of the old Hinduism, the gods and goddesses, the impersonal it out there, the impersonal force, the consciousness out there, that we kind of die and we're absorbed as non-individuals into the all, and then we come back and reincarnate as something else again and again and again, a cycle. Same old song. Dust in the wind. Listen, it's an amazing thing to me that Carrie Livgren, you know, delved into that philosophy and sang about that. And so many artists do sing about what they believe in. But Carrie has a different song now. If you've got, listen, Eckhart Tolle's book and Oprah, I'm speaking to you. And Eckhart Tolle, I'm crying out to you and those who are reading A New Earth. Listen, A New Earth, the book selling in the millions. And guess what? It is a spiritual message. It is a spiritual teaching. And in the back of the book, Eckhart Tolle says, it says about him, he's a spiritual teacher going out with a mission to the world. He's out to convert you. He's out to tell you. He's out to share with you information. But I want to tell you something. I'm waving my arms. I'm saying, get off those tracks. Get off that spiritual alternative track. Because on that track where you might get stuck and bogged down in trying to understand the metaphysical and trying to understand the concepts that he's bringing out, as he leads you there and as you're listening and listening and listening and being drawn into old, old, old spiritual teachings from the old Hindus and Hinduism and old pantheism, listen, it will bog you down and a train is coming. And a train is coming. And so I'm just simply crying out to you to say, listen, that a alternative spirituality that does not have its source in the personal, living, infinite God, the God that is very personal, that cares, that loves. We're going to talk about the difference between a non-personal force and the sense of identity. Listen, when you read more and more and more, I'm crying out to you not to buy into Eckhart Tolle's spiritual teaching. It is a stream that does not lead to eternity. It does not lead to the heart and the face of God. It will not bring final answers to the issues of our, he calls it dysfunction, our sleep. What he calls being asleep, the Word of God calls being dead to God. There's a reason for that. And there's a reason why in his book he's not going to mention Satan or demons or radical evil. He's not going to mention any of those things. He's not going to mention the source of our problems. So listen, if you are looking for reasons, why are you here? And what is your destiny? And what is your purpose? And what is the outcome of your life going to be all about? Listen, there's an old apologist by the name of Edward Carnell that came from Wheaton College that wrote a long time ago about a concept called soul sorrow. And it's part of what we all experience. And Eckhart is trying to address that with a mix of old line Hinduistic, pantheistic spirituality, mixed into a psychological format, a metaphysical language, and present it in answering life's most crucial questions. Soul sorrow, says the apologist, is that experience we feel, that conflict, that confusion, that heartache when the ideal and the real clash in our heads and in our hearts. The ideal being, you know, we close our eyes and we dream. We dream what life could be like, and that it should be filled with love and kindness and good and no death and no war and no rape and no evil and no disease and friendship and no war. Everybody wants that. That's part of what we are made for. But there's a conflict The conflict is we open our eyes and in the real world, people get shot. VTech. There's war, there's bloodshed, there's rape, there's abuse, there's evil in the world, there's conflict in our own lives, and we understand what lying is and cheating is, and we feel moral guilt. So when the ideal, the wish that we have is mixed sometimes with the real, we come to this conflict of soul sorrow. And we question, why are we here? What's it all about? Why is there pain? Why even is there death? And Eckhart Tolle tries to answer the question on death. And it's a confusion. It's a bog. It's a non-answer. It's a distraction. I don't want to be led out onto railroad tracks where I'm bogged down and stopped to contemplate, you know, serious questions and be given stuff that will distract me and draw me into a deep spiritual bog all the while the train is coming. All the while the train is coming. So this is a warning light. This is something that says God really does love you, and God is really seeking out to you. And it's not about religion. It's not about even churchianity. It is about the difference between truth and error, the difference between a living and personal God who is relational, who's made us as unique individuals, in comparison, again, to a false spiritual stream that has its roots into the fallen spirits that distract humanity from truth, distract humanity from origin, distract humanity from real destiny, and distract humanity from the end game, the end, death, eternity. So when I'm reading in Eckhart Tolle's book, The New Earth, I'm reading in chapter 1 in which he talks about the universe. I'm sorry, this is chapter 10, The New Earth, page 279. He's talking about the universe. Quote, the universe will then stop expanding and begin to contract again and finally return to the unmanifested, the inconceivable nothingness out of which it came. The universe came out of inconceivable nothingness. I don't know if you've read this book or not. If you're reading this book, maybe as a seeker, a searcher, but that's what he's saying about the universe. So that the universe came out of a inconceivable nothingness. Let me ask the question again. How did something, life, personality, love, purpose, and everything else come from an inconceivable nothingness? How did it come from? Is that the origins of the universe? An inconceivable nothingness. So what we're told by this spiritual teacher, page 280, if you look within rather than only without, the answer here to the problems of life and the difficulties of existence, of origins and endings, is looking within rather than without. And I'm telling you that this is, again, a spiritual teaching, a spiritual stream that diverts you to an alternative beginning and an alternative purpose and an alternative ending. If that's what you want, that's what you will get. But I'm telling you that it's a spiritual bog, a spiritual distraction, and a spiritual deception that will only lead to further destruction. The answers to these difficult issues and problems are not going to be found in Eckhart Tolle's spiritual message. When millions of individuals will buy into his book because of the promotion of Oprah Winfrey, listen, a spiritual mission, a spiritual message is being presented to the world around us. And around the world, hundreds of thousands, millions now, are reading and delving into. And listen, they're finding complexity. I've talked to a few individuals, and you're welcome to write me and go to our website and contact me. I'd love to share with you personally, or go to our blog talk radio that we have on Sunday nights now and call in, and we can discuss some of these things, because I am extremely concerned about the deception, extremely concerned about the use that Eckhart Tolle makes of scriptures and of Jesus himself in such a deceiving. And it is inconceivable that he can take Jesus, rip him out of reality, of who he really is, and reduce him and absorb him into old line pantheistic thinking, to reduce Jesus to nothing more than a fleck of just a spiritual teaching that in one sense Eckhart only uses Jesus and misconstrues the words of Jesus to support his own spiritual teaching. Eckhart Tolle, in his material, would proclaim that his presentation of a spiritual awakening, of a new human consciousness, of an evolving level that on a critical, you know, global mass that eventually humanity will reach out and come to this evolution of human consciousness. Where's that going to take us? What's that all about? What's the source behind that, quote, spiritual evolution or that evolution of human consciousness? How is it getting there? Who's moving us that direction? See, this is the difficulty. It reminds me of Alice Bailey. It reminds me of Helena Blavatsky. It reminds me of many of the old occult writers who listened to the Ascended Masters, who spoke to them about a critical mass, a spiritual evolution. Those that have written about David Spangler and others in the New Age about a Luciferian invocation. That from all those sources, you know what they're saying? That there is a movement in the world for a spiritual evolution, a new consciousness, a new level of human consciousness that we are evolving to and that we're going to reach and that somehow we're going to get there. And it's explained in biblical revelation as the Luciferian agenda. Listen, this is the exact kind of material that those who want to develop a one world order, a new world order, will buy into. They're all going to talk about a new earth, a new society, a new humanity, a rise in human consciousness, all traveling down tracks where the bridge is out and there's no way to cross. And there's no one to scream and to cry and to say, stop in your tracks. I'm saying it to Eckhart Tolle. I'm saying it to those who've been reading. Listen, take a few moments and let me just scream out to you to say, stop, Oprah Winfrey. Stop teaching this alternative spirituality. There is the spirit of truth. There is also the spirit of error. And the spirit of error is always deception that leads to destruction, no matter how metaphysical it sounds, no matter how dreamy it sounds. Everybody would want, you know, a new earth, a new world, a no pain, no war. Everybody wants this. No pollution, no disease, even no death. Everybody would want this. But the answers to those massive questions, historic and even eternal issues, are not going to be found coming through someone who's bought into the old gods and goddesses of old line pantheism. But I'm going to read to you now, listen. The answer for Eckhart Tolle and Oprah right now, anyway, is about looking within, discovering within, finding an awakening, because we're unawakened, we're asleep, and somehow as we begin to look within, we're going to find the answers. And this is telling you to look away from God, to look away from the answers, even though he will quote some of Jesus' words and some of the Bible, and he'll do it in a very nice and pleasant way. But see, this is like stabbing somebody and killing them in a nice and pleasant way. This is like shooting somebody with a smile on your face. This is like offering candy to a child offered from a pedophile that would only, with that beautiful smile and that sweet candy, draw the child into the car. And the intent is different. And I want to tell Oprah Winfrey and Eckhart Tolle that the spiritual foundations behind your teachings, they come from a source, a predator that has been raping humanity and bringing destruction and blaming God. And radical evil is real, Eckhart. Radical evil. Listen, you've experienced evil in your life, Oprah, and abuse and pain. And in a fallen world, there is really an answer. In a fallen world, there is someone who loved you so much to come and conquer the issues of, Eckhart calls it dysfunction. He quotes the Bible saying that it means sin, something's wrong with us, though he says the meaning of sin is simply that we're missing the point. Basically, there's a need for education. And that doesn't deal with the reality of our own moral evil, the reality of other people's moral evil, and what it's all about, of radical evil. Let me read to you in page 280, quote, "Then comes the reconciliation of outer and inner purpose to bring that essence," quote, "consciousness into the world of form," the physical world, "and thereby transform the world." Eckhart is talking about a spiritual teaching that ultimately is to transform the world. Who doesn't want to see the world transformed? The New World Order and all of the teachings of New World Orders, those that are really, into the development of a one world government, one world system, one world religion, one world. Listen, behind that, from the Ascended Masters, the Great White Brotherhood, from the spirits, that the Spirit of the Living God, an infinite Holy Spirit, spoke about the finite fallen spirits and what they would offer to humanity and how they would come seducing people, drawing them away from God, drawing them away from the Christ of God, drawing them away from the source and origin of life and the gift of eternal life. And I think it's very important for us to realize that this whole thing about an inner awakening, a new consciousness, it's an alternative to the incredible transformation that God has provided so that the Spirit of the Living God can come back into our lives, that our dead human spirits will be made alive to God, and there is a personal relationship so that love literally flows into our being, into our life. That the gift of eternity, the conquering of death, the conquering of the issues of sin, the revelation of what radical evil is really all about, the origins and endings of life, and who has come to rescue us. If you want Eckhart Tolle to be your rescuer, then you're completely in his hands. If you want Oprah Winfrey, a nice lady, to be your rescuer, then you're completely in her hands. But the source of the message and the message stem from great, great seduction, deep deceit, and subterfuge of the human race. And I think that it's very, very vital that you hear about the transformation that comes and flows from the personal concern, care, and love of God Himself. When Eckhart Tolle in this book, uses the word G-O-D, God, he's not referring to a living, personal God that speaks, that acts, that knows about, any sparrow that falls to the ground, that cares about your life, that came here in human flesh. No, he doesn't believe that. He believes in an it, listen, if the universe came from an inconceivable nothingness, well, I'm going to share with you an incredible, immeasurable something. I'm going to share with you that there is, from the source of humanity, the creation of the individual humanity was done bara. It's called bara in the Hebrew, by special act of God. The apex of God's creation, crowned with majesty, we were created to be eternal beings, indestructible, immortal. We were made to be reflectors, image bearers of the likeness of the living God. It was beautiful. It was awesome. That is our real spiritual ancestry. That is our origin. And dysfunction did come in. Rebellion did come in. Sin did come in. And death entered the world not as an illusion, not as part of the cycle of death and rebirth and reincarnation again and again and again in endless cycles that take us, through that process again and again and again, back to that inconceivable nothingness, back into the, manifestation of this world again and again and again. You have no individual identity. When you begin to read this chapter, you're going to see about what he says about death. You're going to see how he tries to make death sound like a good thing when everybody knows that it's an enemy. The Bible calls death an enemy. And I want you to know from a pastor 30 years who've done funerals and stood at caskets and gravesides and with all the people and all the individuals and the weeping and the crying and the loss and the sense of utter, absolute separation. Why does a human being in all of the beauty and capacity, mind and brain and consciousness and body and soul and spirit, why do we die and our physical bodies rot in the ground, and where do we go? Back to nothingness, back to the Borg, you know, to the all, to the one, to the collective, to the consciousness out there, only to go to sleep, as Eckhart says, and then once again, eventually to be reawakened as we reappear in this world, manifest into this world, because surprise, surprise, he's going to finally reveal that he believes in reincarnation. Listen, if you have been reincarnated, who are you? Who were you? Who were you before that? Who were you before that? When did it begin? Who is the first one that was here and died and came back? Where did it all start? You know, in your personal life right now, is it your purpose or the purpose of the person before you or the purpose you once were? Maybe you were a Viking or a priestess, or and now you're, you know, a cab driver, and now you're a housewife, and now you're a movie star. And now, you know, where does reincarnation, listen, if you can take, listen, and so many of you, I applaud you for being a spiritual seeker, for looking. Because I want you to know that someone's looking for you. You're looking for answers. God's got clear spiritual answers to give to you. He's got a way of connecting with you. He has a way of bringing the truth and bringing it. All you need to do, as Eckhart is saying, be open to his spiritual teaching. All you need to do is be open to the living and personal God and search for the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There is a door that God has made. It's not about seeking. It's not about looking down, you know, alleys and looking down, you know, another train track and wondering where it goes. It's not about boarding a ship with having, you know, any kind of idea where you're going to go. It's not about alternative spirituality. It is about, you know, reality. It is about what, well, let's take a look again at some of the materials that he says. When I read on page 280 these words, that is the reconciliation of outer and inner purpose, the reconciliation of the world and God. He doesn't mean God the way you understand. He means an impersonal force, an inconceivable nothing, a consciousness out there. That God, listen, in this teaching, and I'll repeat what he says here on page 281. The notion of my own life is, of course, another limited perspective created by thought, another relative truth. Look what he says, a relative truth. Whereas the revelation of God says that you are created in majesty, you were created as the apex of all of God's creation, you were created as to be an eternal being, and that's why death is a conflict, an enemy. A fallen world is truly a conflict. And so it's not about, you know, reinterpreting all of this to make it look good, to make it sound good. It's not about erasing your identity. Maybe you're a person, you don't like what you are. I know one thing. God knows who you really are. And God knows you as a single imprint. There is no one like you. Never will be, never has been. You are a single identity, incredibly unique, absolutely eternal. But the issues now in this fallen world is clear. Listen, if you chose not to listen to Eckhart's message or whatever else, I don't know if he'd be bugged about it or whatever else, but he's not God, nor is he anything like a God. I think that if you would teach, you know, just look at the life of Eckhart and look at the life of Jesus and compare the two. Who do you want to listen to? One who has always been eternal, came into the human race, born of a virgin, born in a totally different way, experiencing everything like unto us, and eventually going to a cross that has powerful powerful meaning and also effect. There's a reason why. If you've seen the movie Passion, if you haven't seen it, go see it. At least take a look. If you're a spiritual seeker, that's a good thing right now. But I want you to know something, that those who really seek and want to find God, it says in the revelation of Scripture that He can be found. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Let me tell you something right now. God wants you to find Him. Literally, God is seeking you to find you. As in the beginning, after the tragic fall of the human race, the sin, the dysfunction, the what ripped apart our soul and spirit, God stepped in and God cried out and said, Adam, where are you? That's God relating to us in time and space. That's the infinite, you know, relating to the finite. And God knew and God cared, but God addresses. He doesn't just know and look over everything. He addresses the issue. And He immediately stepped in to bring redemption. Immediately, there is a prophecy thousands of years old. Thousands of years old. This goes back to the beginning of time and the creation of humanity, when God, after this tragic fall, said that there was going to be something coming into the world. There was a prophecy, Genesis 3:15, thousands of years ago, of the Son of God coming into the world. And it's a massive thing to think in terms that Jesus is the Son of God, not just some spiritual teacher that Eckhart can grab a hold of and reduce. See, that's what alternative spiritualities love to do. It loves to approach Jesus, strip Him of all of who He really is, turn Him into one of them, and make Him really of no account. That's why they have no relationship to Jesus. They can't say they know Him. They can't say that He's helped them. They can't have a relationship, because the Jesus they're presenting to you is a different. It's one that they can handle. All we are is dust in the wind. All we are is what? Nothing. Our identity, my own life, it's not my own. I'm not an individual. Well, if you read on page 282 and on, you're going to read basically that all we are is dust in the wind. That the universe, there's this expansion and contraction and on and on and on and on. And there's this cycle of sleep and wakefulness. And, you know, that happens, you know. And so you have appeared here. You came out of that consciousness. And you've come into this, you manifested into this world, and now you're here trying to find your way and find everything. I guess we have to ask questions, you know, what made us so dumb? What made us so stupid that we lost who we were? You know, why do we have to discover and look and look and look and look and look if we came out of that into this world manifested? Well, then if we discover something, or if we become awakened to what? That we are nothing, that we're not individuals, that we are not unique, that we're not eternal beings, that we weren't meant to be bearing the image of God, not the image of nothingness, not the image of inconceivable nothingness, not the concept of just consciousness. God has consciousness, but He's beyond just consciousness. He doesn't just exist. He not only is, but He is something. He not only is, but He is something. Immeasurable, infinite, wise, omnipresent, omniscient, involved. We are the ones that have been ripped away. We are the ones that shoved Him out. We are the ones that closed off. We are the ones that have been deceived and grabbed deception. And instead of grabbing more deception and more deception and more deception, listen, if someone gets shot in the belly, and they're lying on the ground, and they're bleeding, what is the answer? For somebody else to come up and shoot them again? And a third person to come and shoot them again? Another bullet isn't the answer. And I'm telling you that that's exactly what Eckhart Tolle's message is. That's exactly what, Oprah, you are doing. You're simply letting another bullet come in to wounded humanity. And another bullet come in. Because the answers you have do not have you know, the source of the infinite, living, personal, relational God, but instead finite, fallen spirits who want you to have nothing to do with what your real identity is, but to pack you with ideas and metaphysics and thoughts and insights and everything else that would lead you further and further and further into the bog of spirituality. God is knowable. God is knowable. When I came out of the bog of spiritual dabbling in Eastern religion and Buddhism and so forth, when I was in all of that as a seeker, looking and looking and looking and looking and looking, and I never found God. In all of those streams that I searched, I never found God. When Jesus was revealed to me and people shared with me who he really was, and I saw the presence and the power of a living God, not of just a nothingness consciousness out there, but when I was addressed, as you are being addressed, that God loves you, that God knows you, that God literally wants you. Can I ask you to think about those three things? That God really loves you, that God really knows you, and that God really wants you passionately. The passion of God, my friend. Have you heard about that? Have you heard about the passion of God? Jesus outside the city where there was rejection. 700 years before he came, the prophet, by the Spirit, the infinite Spirit of the living God, said that Emmanuel, I'm not talking about Hinduistic incarnations of Christs that they have made up. I'm talking about the living personal God who, listen, have you ever read John chapter 1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word, in verse 14, became flesh. So out of the heavens, the infinite God. Listen, the Bible speaks about it in so many places. We can go on for so long, and I'd love to answer more and more on this to tell you that God became human flesh. The angels of God knew it. Even the demons that got exposed and cried out as they were cast out of human beings, they knew it. Thomas, the doubter, finally in seeing the resurrected Christ, fell onto his knees and cried out, "My Lord and my God." And I want you to know that you can have that same real spiritual awakening. That God wants to be, listen, he wants to come into your life. He wants to awaken you. You have spiritual capacity because God created you with spiritual capacity. You have the ability to know spiritually. And that is being manipulated by New Age teaching, by old, you know, the old fallen gods and demons and so forth that would offer, you know, this pantheistic view that would reduce and again, give you a different stream, lead you on those train tracks going down further and further and further away. And the bridge is out at the end of that road, my friend. The bridge is out because there's nothing there. Darkness can never offer you and give you. It can only lie. It can only propose. It can only say, "I'll give you the world if you will bow down to me." And I'm telling you that there's a different message. Carrie Livgren from the rock group Kansas, you know, wrote the lyrics to "Dust in the Wind." All we are is a drop of water in an endless sea. A drop of water in an endless sea. That's a reflection of that pantheism. That's a reflection of Eckhart Tolle's teaching. Oprah, that's what that teaching is all about. Does anybody want a new earth? You bet. But the very premise, even the title of this 10th chapter, even the title of this 10th chapter, A New Earth, he's offering an alternative spiritual new earth that will never come about. Oh, it will appear for a while. The Spirit of God has painted the picture of the rise of Luciferian consciousness, a counterfeit light, an angel, you know, that you know, Satan is said to masquerade as an angel of light So an angel of light is going to offer to the world and continue to disseminate into the world the drive, the push, the pulsation towards an evolution of human consciousness, an evolution of spiritual, development, a push into the world for a new world order, a new earth, that all we need to do is accept this, yield to this new consciousness. And as Eckhart says, some people that aren't really even seeking will even, as more and more and more and more individuals believe in this concept of looking within, discovering the light within. But let me tell you, it's a Luciferian light. Let me tell you that it's a masqueraded light. Let me tell you that it's the pervert with candy that has a different agenda. He'll tell you what you feel you need. He feels you need. He'll tell you what you're, and answer questions and bring things to you and offer you the candy. But I'm going to tell you that in the end, you're going to be spiritually raped and eternally destroyed. What do you choose? Do you really choose Eckhart Tolle's teaching? Do you really want this? Do you really believe? As nice as Oprah Winfrey seems to be, when he begins to talk about death on page 283, quote, "Then your physical form weakens, your sphere of influence shrinks. Instead of becoming more, you now become less. And the ego reacts to this with increasing anxiety or depression." He's talking about the aging process. He's talking about what we are never meant to do, die. He's talking about the issue of death, and he's beginning to talk about it. And I'm astounded here. I'm astounded of the hopelessness of this answer. He offers us, kind of like the movie, The Bucket List. The bucket list that just came out not too long ago where, Jack Nicholson and so forth, they were out there, trying to do some things before they died, trying to make a list of what would you want to do before you die, because death is inevitable. Death is inevitable. Again, I, as a pastor, have stood at death beds. I've been there when individuals have died. I was there when my grandmother of 80 years old, right there holding her hand when she died. Her hand was on my face. I was there when her spirit left her body. Did she go back into inconceivable nothingness? Was she just absorbed into the consciousness only to fall asleep and then eventually reawaken and reappear and manifest on this earth as someone else, as someone different, as somebody? Listen, reincarnate, multiple personality disorder or something. It's not true. Who are you? God knows you. He called Adam by name and Eve, and he can call you by name. And I believe by the providence of God and by the leading of the Spirit of God and by the love of God and by the want of God, you are now listening to a message, and I stand in the presence of God. The Spirit of God is inside of me. The living Christ is right here. I talk with him. I walk with him. He's alive from the dead, my friend. And Lazarus understood that. When you read Eckhart Tolle and Oprah Winfrey's information that's being disseminated about death, you're reading about the attempted denial of death, the attempted denial of the pain and the ugliness and the sense of sadness, the soul sorrowness of death. Is that how we answer the issue of death? That we should just really greet death, that we're going to, it's just really moving from one sphere to another sphere, and that's all there is to it? Is that the answer? Is that what Eckhart Tolle and Oprah Winfrey's telling everybody, when Scripture has always told us for thousands and thousands of years something different? When Jesus came and died on a cross to conquer the issue of death, when God promises immortality for you as an individual, because he cares about you, because he loves you, because he knows you, and because he wants you. Because he wants you. Outside of Jerusalem, Jesus, God in human flesh, wept. Taken to that cross, seeing the punishment. Because, listen, dysfunction is the symptom of our sin. the pain and the hurt and the dying and the aging and the cancer and the diseases and the war and the rape and the abuse and the slaughter and the shooting and the deception that is out there is here because of the real radical evil. There really is a satanic presence. Eckhart Tolle won't even touch on it. Eckhart Tolle won't even go there. He can't go there because the spiritual stream that motivates him comes from that source. I'm waving my arms. I'm screaming out to you. I'm telling you that you've been led out to the middle of the tracks and the train is coming. I'm telling you that you're going to be bogged down. Let me ask you a question. Have you been awakened? What have you discovered? What do you know about yourself, your past, your present, your future? Have you found what you're looking for? And all the while that you're enmeshed in this bog of new spiritual teaching, God is out seeking to reach you. Just as there is a spiritual source behind Eckhart, he is a spiritual teacher, and that those voices are coming out in his writings, I am simply saying to you that another spirit is trying to reach out to you. Another spiritual teaching is coming to you from the infinite Spirit of God. The infinite Spirit of God. Can I tell you something about the infinite Spirit of God? He's right there knocking, 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 knocking. He's there tenderly touching your cheek, turning your face back to the Creator, back to the Redeemer. He's there to tell you that there's more. That there's more, so much more, an incredible hope, an assured hope, an immortality, the uniqueness of your individual personality cannot be matched. God made you, not the nothingness. You are something and did not come from nothing. You are something and came from someone. I want to read to you about the scriptures saying. Something that Eckhart Tolle doesn't know, hasn't experienced, and cannot tell you. This comes from the revelation of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Who are coming to nothing. We're not speaking in the sources of old Hinduism. We're not speaking in the sources of the old Greek mythologies. We're not speaking in the source of the wisdom of the world. No, he goes on to say this, quote, no, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. Before time began, God and purpose and destiny has issued out from God a wisdom that now is being revealed. Let me read to you in verse 9. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. See, relationship. How do you love unfelt and untouchable consciousness? How do you grasp inconceivable nothingness? When I read of this about relationship, God so loved the world. God knows you. God wants you. And the Spirit of God reveals. Verse 10, but God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. I want you to hear what the Spirit of God reveals about Christ, because you're not going to find this in the teaching of Eckhart Tolle. You're not going to find this in the spiritual, a bog of what he's offering you. When he talks about Jesus, and this is what really is alarming, that somebody can take Jesus, rip him out of the Old Testament, rip him out of the New Testament, rip him out of what the angels said, rip him out of what the demons feared, rip him out of what, a couple of billion people have to say, and turn him into simply a bygone teacher where there might be a few principles that Eckhart can use. Every time Eckhart quotes the Bible or quotes Jesus, I'm going to say it frank, okay? He's lying to you about what the meaning is. He absolutely distorts even the book, The New Earth. And he talks about a new earth. He's talking about it in the same terms that old Masonic believers in the Luciferic light, those of the New World Order, those of the old occult streams like Alice Bailey, who got her information, you know, from the Ascended Masters, you know, her book, The Externalization of the Hierarchy, the idea of what those spirit beings out there want to manifest into this world is exactly what Eckhart Tolle is teaching. So instead of a real new earth where everything is healed, where the new heaven and new earth are absolutely now indestructible and beautiful, and the eradication, absolutely evil is eradicated, and death and dying is all destroyed. There's no cycle of death and dying and pain and confusion, death and dying and pain and confusion, reincarnation, death and dying, confusion and reincarnation, and on and on and on and on. When does it end? No, it keeps you like a dog chasing your tail on the tracks until the train runs you over. See, there's a biblical revelation that says, it is appointed a man once to die, after that the judgment. It is said in the book of Ecclesiastes that when a man dies, a woman dies, her spirit, his spirit, leaves the body and goes back to God, not to consciousness, not to utter nothingness. We're not absorbed like a drop of water, you know, being thrust into a sea. Take a drop of water and put it into water and it's absorbed. And that's the idea behind Eckhart Tolle's concept of God. And it is not God. There's a verse, and I hope that you'll read Isaiah 46, where God himself says, listen, I am God, and there is none like me. I am God, and there is no one else. Yahweh, the self-existent, always living being, the unmoved mover, the uncreated creator, the uncaused cause, the infinite that made the finite and made the finite beautiful. Look at the world around you. When you look at pictures from outer space back in the world, you see this beautiful blue planet. You see this earth, but you see the war and destruction and all the stuff that's going on. And that biblical revelation tells us, because of sin and dysfunction and Satan and the lies of New Age Luciferic teaching of a evolution of human consciousness, what that really is doing is telling you what biblical prophecy has warned us about, that there is a spiritual stream that will lead us by the nose out into, you know, out onto those tracks, racing down those tracks to a new world order, to a new earth, and to a new consciousness, only to find the world falling into the worst of a world war, the death of millions upon millions, the greatest level of deception in human history will be manifested, and the destruction of human life will be there. God is crying out, warning. The Word of God has cried out, ancient scripture 3,000 years ago. Psalm chapter 2 cries that out. And God is crying out to you. You know why? Because God loves you, God knows you, and God wants you. God came for you. God's not a nothingness out there. He's not an uncaring consciousness out there. He's not a brain in the sky. God is the personal creator that made us. And God is the one who can come and grip us and grab us and speak to us and talk to us. And he's provided a way. Eckhart Tolle acknowledges in the beginning of his book that there's a problem, that the bad news is there is a dysfunction, that we are asleep. But Eckhart Tolle has probably never read that scripture in the book of Ephesians where it talks about, you know, wake up, O sleeper, and let Christ, the real Christ, not a New Age little pocket-sized Christ, not a New Age or a pantheistic absorbed Christ, but the real Christ of Scripture. Take a look at him, and you're going to see there is none like him. Take a look into the New Testament. That is one of the most attested to manuscripts in all of history, with 24,000 manuscripts and copies. No manuscript has the same level of historical and archaeological and manuscript evidence and external evidence than the New Testament. The most incredibly, on a human level, the most incredible manuscript in human history. On a spiritual level, It is the words of the Spirit of God. They are living words. That's why if you open it up and begin to look at it and just simply listen, if you don't know God, if you're seeking and searching, that's good news. And I'm glad because I'm here to tell you of a message that's clean, that's clear, that's sure, that God really is real, that God really loves you, that God really knows you, that God really wants you, that God is pursuing you, that God's coming after you, that God has come into the human race historically, visited us. Take a look at him in the Gospel of John. Take a look at him in the Gospel of Mark. Take a look at this incredible Savior for whom those Gospels say, for whom the angels of God say, and even the demons feared. For listen, if you want to know, if you really want the source of the Spirit of truth instead of the spirit of error, if you want to know where this is taking, you know where this is taking you? Let me just be very frank, okay? The message of God is he loves you, he knows you, he wants you. He's come to rescue you. He's provided a way out of the confusion and the pain, the questions of origin and purpose and endings. He's here to forgive every sense of moral failure, sin, rebellion, whatever. He's here to forgive that. He wills and joyfully comes. There's a Bible verse, maybe you've never heard it before. It says this, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Romans 6. It's talking about, like it says in James chapter 5, that the mercy of God triumphs over judgment. It dances over judgment. God would rather have mercy on you. Mercy on, look at the world. You know that the world's messed up. You know that the world's bleeding. You know, listen, some of you Hollywood stars, you know the corruption, the pain, the sin, the junk, the fakeness, all the other stuff that goes on. You know all of that. And God knows how to bring a washing and cleansing to our life and give us and put into us the gift of eternal life, the gift of his Spirit, and bring us into a personal relationship. We can talk to God and fellowship with God, and we can embrace God and worship, and we can feel and know the embrace of God. And listen, the Spirit of God that points us that way then opens the Word of God. Maybe you've tried to study the Bible. It didn't really mean anything. You know why? Because Eckhart Tolle says there's a dysfunction, there's sin, whatever. He calls it the bad news. The Bible takes it further to say that we're spiritually not just asleep to ourselves, we're spiritually dead to God. We don't need an awakening by looking to a false inner light and eventually ending up with the Luciferic light. We need the light that comes from heaven and objective light that comes from without. Do you really just want to look within yourselves and trust what you find inside? What about the sin? What about the error? Since you're only finite, and since you know there's a problem, the source must be found in the infinite. The source must be found in an objective truth that is the real spirituality coming from the Creator who fashioned us to be able to be spiritual beings. A spiritual awakening can occur within when Jesus Christ enters into your life, and the Bible calls it being born again, born from above. It literally means the Spirit of God brings the living Christ into your life. Your spirit becomes alive to God, and you come into an immediate fellowship. I'm telling you right now, this is a message for everyone. This is a message. God's message is, I love you, I know you, I want you, and I'm passionately seeking you. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He's the only one that lives sinlessly. He's the only one that was not a seeker of information, a seeker of knowledge, a seeker of finding himself. He knew who he was at 12 years old. He knew who he was at 33 years old and 30 years old. He knew who he was when individuals bowed down in worship, when they called him God in human flesh, when they said this is the Emmanuel, when the angels sang about him, when the Spirit of God through prophets prophesied and acknowledged this is the Christ of God. Can I read you an incredible verse, and this is a verse for Eckhart Tolle. This is a verse for Hollywood stars, for those of you in the government, for those of you in high places that are seeking, that are looking. There's a scripture, a revelation by the Spirit of the Infinite God that says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8. Here's what it says. None of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They missed it. It's possible to miss the Lord of glory. It's possible to be drawn out and to join some other spiritual stream. But I'm asking you to look. Have you found what you're looking for? Or are you just being distracted, preoccupied with a spiritual bog of philosophy and psychology and metaphysics and old Hinduism? God loves you. God knows you. God wants you. I can tell you the scriptures behind each. John 3, 16, for God so loved the world. I can tell you about God wanting you. There's a scripture in Timothy that says, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men, all anthropos, all humanity, to come to the truth and be saved. Eckhart's talking about a different kind of salvation, a different kind of spirituality. God is saying to you, I love you, I've come for you. My death on the cross, the death of Christ on the cross, absorbs all your sins. He is called the sin bearer. Literally all the things you've ever done wrong has been nailed to him. And he's come to conquer radical evil, Satan and darkness and demonic presence. Some of you out there have voices in your head. You've been involved in things and you've gotten psychic readings and tarot cards and you've gotten into some of the left-hand path stuff and you've been a seeker and you've got voices and spirits in your house. And how are you going to get rid of it? The demons shuddered. The evil presence shuddered and feared and went screaming and running when Jesus came. That doesn't happen when it's just simply human spiritual teachers. That doesn't happen when it's just individuals reciting in new ways the old Luciferian promise of spiritual evolution that will lead you to deification, a new human consciousness, a new human evolution. Yeah? When did that ever occur? It's been promised thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago from a fallen cherub who is a finite being, who is radically evil, who is involved in the creation of disease, war, destruction. He's talked about in the Bible as being small g, the God of this age, who has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. So whether you're in your car, whether you're sitting at that cemetery, whether you're in, you know, your room from the computer listening and an iPod, listen, wherever it may be, God loves you. God really knows you. God really wants you. You don't have to be afraid because he willfully, joyfully wants to wash you and cleanse you, and he has the spiritual power and the spiritual effect that was accomplished at the cross. Why did Jesus die for you? Why did he die in your place? To bust radical evil. You ever read that verse in 1 John 3? The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work, destroy deception, seduction, destroy the legalities he has over your life. Did you ever read the scriptures when John the Baptist, one of the most clean, the cleanest, most righteous, one of the best people ever in history, when he first saw, one of the most holy men of all times, when he first saw Jesus, he cried out, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Only Jesus can actually and really take away your sin. Take away your sin. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, that since the children, you and I, have flesh and blood, He, God in Christ, He too shared in our humanity so that He might taste death for all of us. You know what? He came to taste death, to experience literally, that word taste means to literally, fully, and completely experience death, though there was no reason for it. See, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Death is an intrusion. That's the biblical revelation. If you want to believe it's just simply an anomaly, that it's an illusion, that it's not really a bad thing, that it's really just part of the cycle of death and rebirth and reincarnation and all that spiritual bog of junk that doesn't give you any reality concerning origins or endings or real purpose in life. If you want to believe that junk, you're on your own. But I want you to hear the other spiritual stream. Who is the greatest spiritual teacher of all times? Jesus Christ. Would you agree? Have you looked at Him? Because He's looking at you. You see, He blasted apart the finality of death when He died sinlessly at that cross. He judged death. He crushed death. He tasted death as the scripture. You could read about it. Take a look for yourself. Listen, if you're a seeker, I watched the other day a number of Hollywood stars that are seeking in different, some are looking into the Kabbalah, some are looking into an incredibly good book, a book written by Lee Strobel called, I believe it's Case for Christ. And if you read Case for Christ, you're going to read some incredible things. And that will point you in the right direction. That's a tremendous book. Would to God that Oprah, and I would urge Oprah to get a hold of a book like that, because it jives with the scriptures. It jives with the Spirit of God and what He has to say. It fully and honestly reveals Jesus for who He really is. You see, if you step on Jesus and squash Him and make Him into this little clay figure and put Him in your pocket and make Him a little pocket-sized Jesus that you don't have a relationship with, you can't call on Him, He does nothing for you. Your little Jesus that you made, Eckhart, you know He can't do anything for you, and you have no relationship with Him. If you really understood who He was, you would not trample Him this way. If you really understood who He is right now, He's coming again. A new heaven and a new earth, He promises. A real new earth. A real new earth with real grass, with where the lamb lays down with the lion, where the child, the scripture says, can be next to poisonous snakes and there is no harm, where men have beaten their weapons of war into plowshares. The millennial presence, the millennial kingdom on the earth is a reference to God stepping in. When Christ returns, that's the age of peace. Not the new age concept of the age of Aquarius that the ascended masters are pushing all of you towards. God says there's a new age coming called the millennium, chillism. Have you read about it? Do you know about it? Where once again, there is no war for 1,000 years prior in the fulfillment of prophecies on the face of the earth, a new heaven and a new earth. God's going to do this. All the destruction will be washed away. And then we will move into what the Word of God calls the Omnion Basileia, the eternal kingdom. And you will be able to walk up and look at God face to face, to see the glory of God, to see God face to face. Can you conceive of just dying again and again and going off and into the nothingness, into the consciousness and coming back? A drop of water dropped in the water and absorbed nothingness. You're nobody. You're no individual. You come back as a different individual. Who were you before? And if you were somebody before, how come they don't exist anymore and you do? Reincarnation, if it's really real, should tell you that you never exist again. Oh, you exist in a different form. Well, let me ask you something. If you really exist in a different form, then the form you're in right now was once somebody who existed in a different form. And so they no longer exist in the form they once had. You have it. So you really don't get to exist as a unique individual. God loves you. God knows you as a unique individual. He knows you by name. May God visit you. May God visit you. I pray that supernaturally God visits you. God is reaching out to you. And Jesus does love you passionately, dying on the cross. He cries out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." God loves you, my friend. And God knows you, my friend. Eckhart Tolle talks about death as something that we don't, you know, he goes into the issues of fear and everything else about death. Well, I said already in Hebrews chapter 2, it talks about how Jesus, God became human. He shared in humanity to taste death for us. Eckhart Tolle's not going to taste death for you. And as nice as Oprah Winfrey is, she's not going to taste death for you. She might buy you a car, as she's done, a nice deed, but she's not going to die for you. And she can't. She's just a person like you and I that have sinned, that have done wrong, that is confused, that has soul sorrow, that feels the pain of the sins of others that have come against us, the abuse. She too faces death someday in her life. And the issue is whether or not she's ready, whether or not you're ready. I'm quoting off page 288. On the new earth, old age will be universally recognized and highly valued as a time for the flowering of consciousness. Blah, 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 blah. That's again spiritual bog, hopelessness. The new earth that God talks about is the where you're eternal and indestructible and immortal as a unique individual. Jesus dying there at the cross, he rose from the dead, blasting apart the finality of death. Ascended back into the heavens, and the Bible calls him the prototype, literally Greek word. He's the firstborn from among the dead. He's the first fruit. Listen, when you think in terms right now of what it's going to be like, we're talking about the mortal shall put on immortality. Have you read this? Have you read the physics of God? In listen, I want to just engage your spiritual curiosity. Whether on the web or if you've got a Bible around your house, the physics of God, the Greek word atomic is used, the idea of how God will do it in the end. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 about a new body, about the new earth, about how in the twinkling of an eye, a flash, a power so incredible, the physics of God, the power of God. See, it's God, the same living God that spoke it all into existence, and then clearly let us create Adam, humankind, in our image and in our likeness, uniquely fashioning the male, uniquely fashioning the female, blessing them, and giving us dominion as eternal beings that were to bear the image of God. But you know what? The reason that we have pain and seek and have soul sorrow and all the other junk, dear friend, we missed the mark. We cut our own spiritual throats. It's true. We listened to deception in the beginning that promised an evolution in spiritual consciousness, Genesis 3. And that deception led to our destruction. Why do we want more deception? Only to bring us to eternal destruction. I plead with you. I plead with you to walk away from the false spirituality of this new earth spiritual teaching. I plead with Eckhart Tolle to turn to the living Christ to see who he really is. Humble yourself, Eckhart. Humble yourself before the one who raised Lazarus from the dead, who fed the thousands, who healed the sicknesses, who in Mark chapter 1 was filled with compassion and he healed a leper. He's coming again. He's alive from the dead. He's the greatest spiritual teacher who ever existed. He is God in human flesh. He's the Savior. And listen, listen. He'll protect you from deception. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth. Listen, the Spirit of God comes into your life. He is the Spirit of truth. When you receive Jesus Christ into your life as your rescuer, your Savior, your God, and He comes into your life, that is the genuine, genuine spiritual awakening that you need and that God gives and that God wants you to have. In the book of 1 John, it talks about counterfeit spirituality, chapter 2, and about real spirituality. Which one do you want? What's the source of your current spirituality? What's the inroad of your current spirituality? See, for me, the living God dwells within me, the power and presence of God. I have known now for over 30 years the gift of eternal life and my spiritual knowing of, I don't have any question about my immortality, my eternal existence, my seeing God face to face, my knowing that on a daily basis, God loves me and God helps me and God guides me and God directs me. And I can tell you testimony after testimony after testimony, how God has worked in my life and guided my life, and that God wants that and God loves that. And God is so filled with joy that when even you, one individual, would metanoia, change, repent, turn around and turn to the living God, to Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says all of heaven rejoices, takes notice. There's great joy over your life returning home, not into utter inconceivable nothingness, but instead into the arms of a waiting God who's like the most ultimate father. His fatherhood is what every human father should learn from. And God the Father sent God the Son, and God loves you, and God has come for you, and God is seeking you. And that is the reason that you're listening to this message right now. And that is the reason that some of you will record this and send it off to friends and discuss it. That is the reason why some of you at first may get bugged about it, mad about it, whatever else. Why? What have I said? I said that God loves you, that God knows you, and that God wants you. It's your choice. It is your choice. What have you chosen so far? And where have those choices taken you? We do reap what we sow. You buy into another refashioned Luciferian alternative, evolution of spiritual consciousness, evolution of human consciousness, evolution into a new state altogether. I know that source. Dark, deceptive, hatred of Christ, hatred of God. What is your choice? And the last couple of pages here that I read concerning Eckhart Tolle, no matter, and I'm quoting again on page 290, no matter how active we are, how much effort we make, our state of consciousness creates our world, and if there is no change on the inner level, no amount of action will make any difference. He's telling you that, listen, if you don't listen to him, and if you don't come to that new human consciousness, and all the actions and all the things that you do in life are meaningless and makes no difference whatsoever. So if he can tell you that, let me tell you that, listen, if you reject the message of God, the Christ of Scripture, the Christ of history, the Christ of heaven, the Christ that the angels, all angels of God worship the living Christ. Did you know that? Did you know that? Did you know that? You know, did you know that the dark spirits who masquerade as an angel of light, that they can visit New Agers, they can visit those that are involved in the alternative spiritual teachings, and they can present themselves like an angel of light. Ask them boldly who Jesus is. If you've got voices in your head and spirits you're connecting to and your contact, ask them who the real Jesus Christ is. Cry out his name. Say the blood of Jesus Christ. And because the name of the Lord Jesus causes tsunami, spiritual tsunami in the world of dark spirits. It shakes their world up. You and I can listen to some of the old songs of the old days. Did you know that Kerry Livgren, who penned those words, a kind of a pantheistic teaching, a drop of water in an endless sea, absorbed. Did you know that now he believes in the living personal Christ? He received the Lord Jesus Christ into his life, and God lives in his life, and since those days he has walked with God. And not too long ago, he's been working for many, many years on a production about the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead. And what do you see? History's blowing in the winds, it really is. Your life is unique. Your life is loved by God, is known by God, and you are truly wanted. God came here to the earth. Jesus says, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. He wants you. Whosoever calls on the name of Jesus, whosoever calls on the name of the living Christ, like Kerry Livgren, received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior into his life. It ended his search. You can look up anything now on Kerry, and you can see that he has been found, and that he has found, and that he proclaims that Jesus Christ is for real and the answer, and God in human flesh who loves us. If you've got any questions, write to me at shatterthedarkness.net. You can get the email address right there. It's shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. I'm here because God loves you. I'm here not to point to any specific spiritual teaching of my own. I'm not the source of any spiritual teaching. But I am a communicator of the Word of God, God's Word, of God's revelation, of the spiritual truth that flows from the person of the living God. My name is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. And hey, Oprah, I love you. And Eckhart, I love you. And I beg you in the sight of God to re-examine what you're into. And I'm screaming there at the side of those railroad tracks, alarming you that the bridge is out down the road and you're being deceived by this spiritual Eastern teaching will only lead to destruction. Please come out of it.